And I think, sorry to interject, I just have something very germane to that. Is my very first girlfriend, we became poly a month before COVID. And so because we were very insular, because we had to be, and because the world shut down, we had no place to grow organically. It was intense. And we were kitchen table. We would have been anyways. We're all friends. That was the luck of it. But it was intense because all we had was each other. We were the only safe people, and because we were bubbled. I mean, literally, we had to be each other's bubble. And the problem with that is when it ended, and it didn't end well because we were new and we had no idea how to do this. And some of us were the person who never asked for this, my husband, her husband, Dossie Easton, and The Ethical Sluts are a really interesting book for that, because my husband's, I'm the guy who never asked for this, and he became that person, but we went in and said, it always worked for us before, it'll work now, that's not the way to get into it. But at the end of that, we lost the kitchen. They didn't just leave the kitchen. We broke that table.
Yeah.
And so there was a vulnerability and an intense amount of grief. There were six kids in our polycule. I lost my relationship with my friends. I lost my relationship with her kids. And for a long time, I had a hard time. First off, because I'm an extrovert and my people are my people. So my vision dream board is a kitchen table poly. And then I started meeting people going, you know, I really appreciate that. But your circle intimidates the hell out of me, and I don't really want to sit down with everybody. I would like to have a relationship with you, but I don't think I want a relationship with everybody else in your life, even if it's non-sexual. And so boundaries and understanding the difference between boundaries and rules, which is a whole different topic, but understanding, I sat down and thought really about what I wanted, and then I started communicating with that, because it may just mean that I have a partner who is absolutely lovely. She can show up to events, but it's kind of her nightmare to sit there and watch me like flirt around and sit on people's laps and be who I am. Is I started understanding that, again, there's no one true way, is that understanding what we need and being able to communicate things. I think that they're lovely. There's nothing wrong. I'm not wired that way. And if it doesn't happen organically, it's going to make it worse.
Yes.
And it might eventually happen organically, but it's saying to your partner, I care about you deeply, and I don't see this not being us, but I don't see us being in us, is okay.
I resonate.
Yeah.
My fear, I think, is that his partner can be 6 months or less, and I just don't want to create bonds with people that aren't going to be around for very long. Mm-hmm. I've had partners that I have gotten close to, and then they don't work out, they split up, and then all of a sudden they're gone, and I'm like, oh, okay.
But they don't have to be gone.
Yeah. And you agree.
But see, for me, one of the things that I realized is just because their dynamic is no more.
I get that. And you reach out. Hey, you want to go for drinks? Hey, you want to go for
I do that.
And then it's like, oh, my God. So it's avoiding because
That is, I think, part of the point that fits well with what she was talking about earlier when she was talking about the different forms of dynamics. I've lost some of the terminology that was going through my head, but that's part of where developing your dynamics in a way that creates a better solid foundation and making it a friendship base solves a lot of that problem. But it also, at the same time, there it is. She was talking repeatedly. She mentioned people being at a certain level and not necessarily being on the same level as us. I realized very quickly analyzing these kinds of relationships that it takes a higher level of emotional intelligence and awareness and honesty, integrity, communication. There's a lot. There's a higher level of functioning that is required. The more people are involved, the more critical communication and honesty becomes. And that's why when I teach this stuff, I teach that there are certain things that are critically essential. They are the pillars of relationship. And honest and open communication is one of those. Because if you don't know how to deal with the emotions involved, if you don't have a friendship base, you can't guarantee a good solid friendship base. and you can't deal with breakups well, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to other people involved, she may want to have a friendship with you, but she may not know how because of the emotional baggage that she doesn't know how to let go of and clear from that relationship. And even being around you or thinking about you reminds her and brings all that pain right back up as fresh as it was the day it happened.
Yep.
This is where dealing with your emotional baggage and having an understanding of emotions and how to deal with them and clear them, which some people don't even believe you can.
This is what I am, and you just have to deal with it.
No, we do not have to carry emotional baggage. We can learn to clear it. And if you do, you can maintain healthy relationships. We can maintain healthy friendships. We don't have to have toxic breakups. We don't have to break up everybody in the dynamic just because one person or two people don't work out.
I agree with that.
But it requires a higher level of communication, trust, understanding, and friendship than most people even know how to develop. And this is part of why I developed the class base, because there are critical factors that I find as a problem solver in our common social dynamics, in our toxic society that we're in, that totally prevent or even sabotage our ability to do that. And that's why education and personal development is a critical factor for me. And something that I've learned to implement in every single relationship I get into. I find that I have gone deeper with this stuff, especially because of my therapeutic background, than most people have. And I know how to deal with things the way most people don't. And even among therapists, I know how to deal with emotional baggage and PTSD, and even compound PTSD, which most people don't even know about, in ways that most people don't, even therapists. So there are critical skills that can make or break a relationship, especially when it comes to emotional baggage.
One of the things that, for me, I think was a big epiphany is there are so... I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. When you're communicating with people, especially somebody that you've been with for a long time, and you're trying to, is the pitfalls of what you knew versus what is now.
Yeah.
And so that would be my biggest thing is doing the kitchen table with your main partner and saying, this is me now. These are the things that have changed. Because sometimes we forget that we do, we are going to. It's an evolution in a lifetime. And so if you don't take that moment, I do it with my kids even. I have adult children, and they're growing and changing, and it's like, and two of the three of them are in the lifestyle. And so they're very baby lifestyle people. And so I have to ask them, why are you doing what you're doing? Is it because you need it, or because, and they're mostly submissive, and are you doing it because you need it or because they want it? And so having those conversations with your partner, with the different people, I was contemplating doing something that's very out of character for me. Would you like to know what the first thing I did? I called Des and said, am I ready for this? Because you don't know sometimes if you're ready for something. And then I called a female that is in that realm and said, am I ready for this? Am I approaching it correctly? So doing those kind of things, because I felt like there was a growth about to happen. And there was another one where I called... I don't know about this. And it's like, okay, if you're that worried and have that much trepidation, you may never be ready for it. Or you may not be. I love the yes, no, not now. I do a lot of that now. It's like, do I have the peace when I'm thinking about it?
I love the not now. Mm-hmm. This is actually something out of character for me. Saying, no, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Not right now.
I'm
going to be very inclusive. Hey, let's be friends. Let's go out. Let's go go have a drink with them, so that I'm not ready for this. Very uniform.
And just remember, a friendship with somebody for 6 months is 6 months of something new.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's one of the things I've learned, is just because it's okay for a season, they have something to offer me, or they wouldn't be in me.
I also look at it like, when you're developing relationships with somebody, you can do it one-on-one, So I kind of like the idea of staying away simply because I want them to develop something without me being involved at all. Because if I'm always there, if I'm in their face, they won't be genuinely with each other.
I don't know. We've developed it. I'm just telling you, this has been the craziest thing for, I think, the two of us have been like, whoa. And it's just because we cognizantly felt that there was, it was funny. she actually said, you're cute. Because I was like, nope, I'm not going to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. So having that, and I was not even looking at him that way because I didn't want to hurt her. I was not going to maim. So finding those friendships, don't close yourself off to it, because I'm learning so much from her, and we have bonding moments that, and this is new. This is how new it is. 3 or 4 months,
maybe. But it doesn't feel that way.
We feel like we've known each other for an eternity.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that way at all. It was interesting because our relationship was instant, and that normally does not.
I hate women. I'm just telling you right now, I hate women.
Me and her, I've had experiences with some of his past folks, and I was very much against meeting anybody else. I was like, oh, no. See, because if I get involved emotionally and they pull some bullshit like that, the next time I might be in orange. I don't want to be in orange. Orange does not look good on me. And he brought her in, and I was like, oh, okay. She's very much cognizant, and she was present. And I think a lot of the times, the reason why most of the others didn't work, because it was all centered around them. You have to have a willingness to listen. If you don't, it's not going to work.
And care
about.
There's a consideration involved.
Yeah.
And if people are completely selfish, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. You are going to run into all kinds of problems. And even if they come out, and sometimes they come off as caring at first, and then after a while that mask starts to slip on the left side, and the mask starts tilting this way, and you start seeing the eyes of what's really behind that.
That's
stuff. Because most people always put their best foot forward. It takes some time to get to know folks. And it's like, after that last, I was like, oh, no, not again. Nope. I'm not interested in meeting nobody else. You do yo over there, and I'm going to be over here because I like my own company, and I'm okay with that. But
I didn't come in as trying to be part of a dynamic.
Right.
That wasn't the mission.
Yeah, no, it was pure friendship. I felt that they were a lot alike, and they would get along very well. I've brought various people in from the community just as friends.
Yeah.
Just for us to hang out with, because we found compatibility. Primarily, I'm an empath. I go for good hearts.
Yeah.
I can feel when people are good, caring, considerate people. Even if they've got emotional baggage, I can feel it, and I might not know what all's behind those doors. But there's at least a good foundation of care and respect that creates a good ethical space for us to start with. And so I'll bring people into into our lives as friends, because she's not very social. She's got some health problems primarily that are going on to keep her limited. So I'm more out there. So I bring people in and say, hey, I think I've got a new friend for us.
Yeah.
And that's how it started.
It's something that's a good middle ground in my current polycule. It's gotten bigger on my side, which was weird. Because I always thought he'd be the one with a lot of like people in it. We call it meta pancakes. So our whole thing when we start considering bringing someone in new is that if they're not interested in meeting everybody yet, or it's ever a no, we respect that. Mm-hmm. And we had to build a lot of trust saying, I'm going to trust you that you're not going to bring something in that's going to hurt us. So first letting the people who are kitchen table know, I'm not being sus by not bringing someone in and not being transparent. I am growing a relationship with someone who's not ready to have five new relationships. Because a lot of us have a, look, I like people who are my people, but I don't like people. And if you bring that person up in here and you tell me I have to like this person, we're going to have a problem because I don't know this person. No, it's my brat. But meta pancakes is the decision that one of us might have to say, hey, my nightmare is to sit in front of you and all of the metas and in a big table and have y'all staring at me. But I'd like to get to know you. So let's go do meta pancakes. It's a neutral territory without the partner and without expectations. Because you can sit down for coffee or a meal with just about anyone in community, and the way humans are built, we tend to bond over food. I truly believe that.
Yep.
Food is the biggest friendship maker, because then you have something to concentrate on that's not some looking someone in the eye and saying, I know who you are. And then if you have a commonality, you can do that, or you can say, hey, this was great and I'm glad I got to know you. And you walk away and there's no expectation. It's meta pancakes and no expectation of something else. And it's worked, because sometimes people come and say, hey, I love everybody. And some people stay and say, hey, I'm glad I got to know this person is important to you. And I understand you better, but I'm still over here. And it's okay to reach out. But yeah, I mean, there's a certain amount of vulnerability that we're not built to do. We all come with some really traumatic stuff. And or relationships where we put trust that was going to be forever and it wasn't. I try not to talk in absolutes, because I'm now dating again my first girlfriend. And it's been fantastic. And if we were like, you know, if we'd done this now instead of when we were, you know, COVID and our very first relationships, we would never have had that happen. But I think recognizing that sometimes it's just saying, I'm not ready to be vulnerable yet.
And also using, you know how we do the red, yellow, green.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when it comes to non-monogamy, having those, I don't want to call them trigger words, but safe words, even at the relationship level, where you may not have the way to vocalize the feels, but have safe words. That
my during the conversation?
Yeah. We had one word that in one of my dynamics, squeaky, when it makes you feel split.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another thing. If I was not happy or not, I have a little component that I have a really hard time being able to vocalize, I'll just go,
and you already know.
And they know that we need to stop this conversation right where it is, because it's making me feel icky. So having safe words in your communication and not hiding behind those safe words. That emotional intelligence that says, I'm scared and I don't want to talk about it. Well, that's when you really need to talk about it.
That's hard for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't use safe words, but I use, we took a class several years ago where it talks about back and forth communication, use a stick or a pencil or whatever. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I'll Done. Say,
mm-hmm. it works.
Yeah, I'll say, okay, the stick. And he's like, but I just got to say this one thing first, and then that can do something else.
What you might want to do is a timer stick, because one of the things that happens is, for me, I'm conflict avoidance.
Okay.
I use it because it's my service side. I don't want to cause conflict because then I'm not serving well. And so one of the things that with my ex-husband is we would use the timer. It forced him to shut up.
Yeah.
And it forced me to talk.
Speaking of which, that's a good spot for me to interject. I'm very aware that the two of us have been talking a lot, and we've gotten more of into a discussion format than taking turns.
Mm-hmm. And Des is just being very
happy listening.
I will probably change the energy of the conversation a little at this point, but kind of a different twist is having, especially if you have someone who is a primary partner, a nesting partner, someone who is your top priority, however you want to put it, having that conversation about how are we going to address relationships. If I go, and you go, no, not that one, any one but that one. Or, yeah, this person, and you take a look, and it's like, they've got a list this long of people who they're involved with. Like, how are they going to work with us? I will give you a personal example. There are, in all the hundreds and hundreds of people I know and interact with in this community, especially in the last 3 years since I've jumped back in, having been around for a long time, there are two people I have an actual beef with. And one of them, I will put hands on if they do any of the things they've done with to other people, to me or people I care about, and they know it. They hide from me. They run like a little fool. But what do you do if your partner wants to go off in a, with them? Mm-hmm. Do you have those conversations before these topics come up? Have conversations about, we talk about how would we vet someone to come to our event or a dinner party? How would we vet someone to, talk to people? How would we have that process so that the novelty, the new relationship energy, the infatuation, the wow, did you see what they did with that thing to the because for me, I've been around this community a long time, and Ray can vouch for this. I can go in a room and I'm not an empath. I'm a scientist. I'm a rationalist. I watch behavior. I try to put my emotions aside and watch the behavior. And I've said to one of the people in my polypule, watch what's going to happen. When our other partner goes over there away from us, you're going to see this person drop his partner practically on the ground, ditch her, jump over a fence, run across the lawn and try to corner our person by themselves to, for the fourth time, pressure them to do an impact scene with him and his partner, who doesn't want anything to do with it either. And I hope I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, great. And sure as shit, that's exactly what happened. But then when your person says, well, this guy is really exciting, and so-and-so is really steering all of the newbies to him, so he must be really good. And it's like, So have those discussions about how we're going to agree that we're going to support each other and help each other to make good decisions that will last more than a few months, or that won't just be driven by that novelty energy. Or if we do have something like that, let's recognize it as such. It's like, I'm really hot for this person, and if it's nothing more than, romping around in a dumpster for, an evening, that's what it's going to be. And it's like, we can be cool about that too, because there's nothing wrong with getting your yayas. But having an understanding that we're going to be honest with each other, we're going to be open, and not that we're going to have a bell ring to veto each other's, needs, desires, or wants, but that we're really going to get it on the table. And if we have concerns, we're going to really listen to them. And if you've been around FetLife at all, you'll see. You know, it's like the Oklahoma land rush right now. The pandemic took all these leather folk meltdowns that happen naturally over time as these houses collapse, as these people with leather values fall apart and cheat on each other and lie to each other and do all this shit that they're not open about. But we put a hold on all of it. And it all backed up behind the dam, and we dropped the dam, and now you just look, everywhere you look, it's drama, it's trauma, it's betrayal, it's horrible, it's pain, it's tragic shit. And it's all playing out in real time at this house, and that house, and this house, and that house. And I've been seeing a lot of these same folks for 30 years around, so it's like, yeah, well, I've seen this 15 times, but you weren't there for the first 15 because all the people who have learned about it and become interested over the course of the last couple of years, they haven't seen the revolving door of subs and disasters and consent violations and being banned and then not banned. And you'll notice nobody is banned. That's BS. And so you've got each other. You're the folks who have to look out for each other and reach out to people who know the characters and who are empathic and can say, well, that might look attractive, but maybe we should and stick to, the behavior thing. I try not to be hard on people, but hard on behaviors. And it's like, don't trust my emotions or my instincts because I might just be overly critical and jealous.
Oh,
that's
please.
What I'm told a lot. But if I'm right with these concerns, here's the behaviors I expect you'll see from this person.